Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. If by Hollywood you mean Burbank, across the street from a Wiener Schnitzel that serves beer. This is the business end of show business. We do this every Sunday from 5 to 7. On KEIB 1150 on your AM dial. So we got 2 hours of this. There's no program like it. You're listening to the right one. Okay, let's start off with the box office for this week. And what we have is nothing shocking. Ghostbusters. The kid Ghostbusters. Afterlife, I haven't seen it. I'll probably see it this week. I wanted to see it. My wife's out of town. And I thought, I'll go see a bunch of movies, but, life goes on. House of Gucci, number 2. I thought it was great. Lady Gaga is amazing in it. And I think Adam Driver's pretty good, too. Some people don't like it. They think it's a little campy. Do you have to see it in the theaters? Not really. Resident Evil, number 3. This weekend at the box office. Dune hanging in there at number 4. Will it make money? Even if the movies make money or they don't make money, they don't really tell you. Now they just make up lies. Clifford the Big Red Dog, King Richard, hanging in there at number 7, which is pretty good because you can see that for free on HBO, Netflix or something. It's HBO, sorry. No Time to Diarrhea, still in the top 10. And that all people can talk about is how much money it makes, and how much money it lost. And there's a disconnect there. Sure. Venom, Let There Be Carnage, rounds out number 10. Licorice Pizza debuts at number 11. This doesn't make sense to me. This is a Paul Thomas Anderson film. Paul Thomas Anderson, he'll just give you one movie, There Will Be Blood. Don't you want to see this movie about him growing up in the Fernando Valley? Maybe it was just a little preview and not a real weekend's gross. I will see it this week, and I'll let you know a little more about that. Let's go to my Letterboxd account. My Letterboxd account is, of course, where you go when you want to see what Joe is, what movies has Joe seen? Did Joe talked about some movie. I forgot what it was. Well, go to my Letterboxd account and get one for yourself. They're free. I've never seen a, there's a pay version of this, but, usually the pay version, you're, kind of suffering through the free version. This one, you don't suffer through the free version. I can't imagine getting pay version. I don't know what they're promising me, but you get a free letterbox. You got all of it. You're going to look at some ads, sure. But it's not like YouTube. I'm getting ready to get rid of those YouTube ads. I don't know why I haven't. It just seems like, who wants to give Google, any money? But I'm about ready to. There's just too much stuff on YouTube that I'm watching and sit through these commercials. Okay, in my Letterboxd this week, I watched a movie called Face in the Crowd starring Andy Griffith, directed by Elia Kazan. Elia Kazan, this guy's directed some of the biggest movies in the history of movies, including films like Baby Doll, On the Waterfront. Just give you a couple there. He works with the heavies. He sadly is remembered for naming names in the McCarthy trials, the House Committee on Un-American Activities when they're looking for communists. And he used to be a member of the Communist Party. Then he got out. And then they were like, well, who else was there? I'm not going to tell you. Then they bring him back. And he says, all right, here's who was there. And he gave him a list of names that they already knew, the names that they already had. And he saw in his, they said you're never directing another film unless you tell us something. So he told him something. Then he directed a bunch of great films. Maybe his best. But, you know, he paid a price for it. But according to him, he saw, I mean, after a while, he just said, oh, my gosh, communism. I was trying to fight, you know, oppression and tyranny, and then I realized that communism was just another form of oppression and tyranny. And he actually thought and saw things that were subversive and dangerous to the United States, and perhaps criminal. And he said he saw these things, and he wanted to tell. And he's glad he told. He's, look, I'm glad I did it. These guys are idiots. So, I mean, now it seems like, oh, that's terrible, but... you know, he didn't just like cave. He said, go get these creeps. And they were creeps. There were a lot of creeps. There were a lot of people that were just like, hey, I think, you know, I think this is a better way to live. And especially after, you know, World War II, like, you know, like, oh my God, what kind of world do we live in? We have World War I, World War II. You know, what we need to do is everybody come together in this brotherhood of communism, and we can, you know, change things. Why go back to this other world, fascism? But then they realized that communism is its own breed of fascism, and it's far more deadly than any that came before. And if you don't believe that, count the, 100 million deaths. Okay, so, Elia Kazan. You should see every one of his movies. The movie itself, A Face in the Crowd, it's intense. It's a story about a reporter, like a radio reporter, and she finds this character. She's just doing character stories in the South. She goes to a jail, and she finds a character. There's, she's kind of a man on the street. She's interviewing these people in the jail. And there's a character in there that's so larger than life, she puts him on the radio, and pretty soon he's getting great ratings, and they give him the morning show. Sounds like your host... in the 2000s, when I had this show, and then they, the ratings were so dynamic, dynamite, that they gave me the morning show. But I didn't turn out like this guy. I just did it for 2.5 years until, you know, they came in and pulled the plug. But Andy Griffith, he's kind of like a Will Rogers type, dispensing philosophy, Southern fried wisdom, playing guitar, playing songs. And he becomes so popular, more popular than, you know, the government. He could control people. He could say, hey, everybody, let's go to the mayor's house and swim in his pool. And then all, every kid in the town would go to the mayor's house and swim in the pool. Then he gets a big national show. And, of course, it doesn't end well. But it's, and you're supposed to take away from this that maybe, I mean, the one takeaway in Face in the Crowd is, this is like a 1957 movie. You're supposed to take away is that television is so powerful that it will create political figures that will outsize, you know, any that came before them. So be very careful with television personalities. That's very prescient, I guess. I guess Donald Trump is a television personality that became president. And this guy, you know, could have become president. But, you know, they were having him endorse candidates in the movie Face in the Crowd. We're also supposed to take from this, some people have taken that this is Will Rogers. I don't know if you know who Will Rogers are, maybe you're too young, but he was a you know, dispensed down-home wisdom, and on the radio, books, he became popular, and then people said he was a phony. Some people said, like, when the mic turned off, he said, ah, this is a shtick. It's a shtick I do. And this was a shtick for this guy, in A Face in the Crowd. So, if Will Rogers was a phony, I don't know, maybe. Okay. And then people said, well, maybe it's based on this character. There was a kids program where a guy says he's really nice to the kids. He's like Mr. Rogers, and the mic turns off, and it was a hot mic once. And someone said they recorded him and went out on the air, him saying, like, good night, kids, and we'll see you next time on, you know, happy show. And mic's off, he thinks, and he says, that ought to hold the little bastards. And we've all heard stories like this. They become cliche, the hot mics, kid shows. But, and that guy's career was ruined. Should it have been? You know, maybe he's kidding. I would do that. Good night, kids. That ought to hold the little bastards. Yeah, who cares? They're little bastards. You show up to work today, every day, and you entertain them. So I don't know what the problem is. All right, how much time do we got in this segment? We got no more time left. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about what I was watching on TV this week was a little more interesting than what I was watching in the theaters. Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We are back. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood, the business end of show business. KEIB AM 1150. Every Sunday from 5 to 7. And the podcast appears later in the evening on Sunday nights. So what I was watching on TV this week, a very interesting, more interesting than... maybe the stuff I saw, the movies I saw. But, you know, I went to see Last Night in Soho, directed by Edgar Wright, the director of Baby Driver and Shaun of the Dead, and the new Sparks documentary, which is good. A little long, watch it at home in two or three bits and you'll be okay. But the star of Last Night in Soho, or the co-star, Anna Taylor-Joy, mesmerized me so much. I'm like, who is this woman? And my wife is like, duh, that's the girl from Queen's Gambit that you didn't watch while I was watching because you said it looked boring. Okay, all right, watching people play chess initially looked boring, but eventually I watched it because I can't take my eyes off this woman. You know, and if she's on the screen, you're just staring at her, and you can't get enough. So I couldn't get enough, and so much so that I watched her play chess. That's how entertaining she is, her facial expressions. Her eye movements, everything about her—just you could. She's so exciting. You could watch her play chess and still be entertained. So I did watch that, and it went along, probably a little too long, too much chess. But and then of course it had the unfortunate fell into the unfortunate trap where somewhere along the way they want to tell us how enlightened they are as filmmakers and etc. by saying that this character is too smart for her religion. Now, she's got a religion, and later she becomes too smart for it. And that's a cliche that we see in many movies. I think it's unfortunate because almost everybody I know that became too smart for their religion that they were raised in, as adults, they kind of messed up. Things are messed up. And divorces, out of control kids, depression. So I don't know if that's, you know, if that's admirable, being too smart for your own religion. I'm definitely not too smart for my religion. I fall for the whole Catholic thing, everything. Fell for it all. So dumb. Fallen for everything. But I don't know. I think I'm a little happier than most people I meet. My wife and I are happier than most couples, lasted longer, and we have fewer tragedies. So anyway, that's something that we always see. Characters that are too smart for their religion, and that doesn't make me think they're that smart after all, if you look at things. But this is how Hollywood stories are told. People are just really enlightened, and then you have to love them for that. Okay. How about some movie about dumb people like me? And mind you, one more thought on this, her becoming too smart for her religion. It was because in the series, the people that paid to have her go to Russia when she was desperate and needed help was the church. So the church paid for her. And then when she came back, they said, okay, that was great. We paid for everything. We kind of want you to make this statement because you're a hero and we want you to make this statement. And the statement is, you know, communism is bad. Here we are back to communism. Well, she won't do it because she's too enlightened to be against communism, too. And that's fine. And so if you're a writer or someone getting into show business, here's my comment for you. You're probably going to make more money taking this route to tell people that religion should be trivialized and you're too smart for it. And people who advocate against communism are reactionary hillbillies, whatever you want to call them, not sophisticated like you. And a lot of people right now think communism is wonderful. It doesn't have the stigma that it had in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s. But if you like communism, that's a fine philosophy. You know, reasonable minds can differ. It's very reasonable for someone to look at communism and say, yeah, everybody own together. We will own the means of production, and we will distribute to everybody according to his need. By everybody according to his ability. That's a beautiful sentiment, and everybody's free to think that's worth pursuing. But to demonize people who have looked at every time it has been tried, and it ended up in the murder of tens of millions of people, hundreds of millions of people even, then it's just... The argument, it can only be, well, they did it the wrong way, and it hasn't been tried correctly. And that's what you'll get when you tell, and when communist people are interested in communism or Marxism, tell you why you can't use Stalin or Mao or Pol Pot as these murderous regimes as an example, because they weren't doing it right. And it has to be done right, and this is how we'll do it right. Okay, that's fine. And maybe they are correct in that. Maybe one day it'll happen. But to demonize and mock and vilify people who are against that, because they've seen it, so they're saying like, oh, you know, I saw that, I saw him try it. Let me really advocate hard against communism. Let me do that because I've seen it. It doesn't work. People like John Paul II lived in it in Poland, advocated against it, and then... Today, he would be thought of as a rube. So my point is, reasonable minds can differ. I'm not smart enough to know what ultimately is the best path to follow. But to demonize people that are advocating, or, you know, fervent anti-communists is just its own form of bigotry. So, you know, don't do it. But that's what the Queen's Gambit did. And it happens all the time. So it's a perfectly good storyline, but the opposite. And of course, to make their point, they had to make a cartoon version of people who wanted to fight communism. And that's probably cheap and low-hanging fruit, but I think I made my point. Now, here's what else I was watching on TV. This is perfect for dumb people like me. Sports documentaries. Sports documentaries are always good. No matter if you don't like sports. I'm not glued to sports. I like the Rams and the Dodgers. I used to follow basketball, but it became not that interesting to me. The more it became like a more aggressive physical game. I come from a period where I was watching it in the 60s and 70s, and the players ran plays, and it seemed a more cerebral game. And now it's just drive the ball to the basket and dunk it and get in someone's face. Sometimes you find some college teams that still play like that, but I'm not an expert on this. But I just, you know, NBA games don't really interest me that much. Now you add to the NBA games LeBron James falling down and pretending he's hurt like a soccer player. Now I'm out. 100% gone. Not coming back. But sports documentaries, always good. Like when I was a kid, I read any sports biography I could find. They were always good. Anything on, you know, Jerry West, Roman Gabriel, Archie Griffin. Gail Goodrich, Elgin Baylor, anything on guys like Fernando Valenzuela. Yeah, I'll read that. What a story. These are great stories. Now, did you know Archie Manning's like parents were blind and Mexican? He has the kids, Danny Manning. I guess they were like half. One of them was Mexican. Mom. Anyway, blind parents. Makes a good story. So, There's a series on Netflix called Untold. And these are all sports documentaries. Highly recommend it. First episode I watched, it's called Malice at the Palace. This is like an hour and 20 minutes. Documenting the lead up and the aftermath of a fight between members of the Indiana Pacers and the audience at the Palace Arena where the Detroit Pistons played. So I'll just put a pin in it there and we will come back after the break, checking the traffic, etc. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. If by Hollywood you mean Burbank, this is 2 hours of the business end of show business. And we are here every Sunday from 5 to 7 live on KEIB 1150 on your AM dial. And the podcasts are released later in the day after the show. So we were talking about the Untold series on Netflix, which is great. We talked about the one called Malice in the Palace, about the fight between the Pistons and the Pacers that ends up in the audience with Ron Artest jumping to the audience and...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Fighting somebody. Fighting the wrong guy that didn't. Not the guy that threw the thing at him, you know. Anyways, hour and 20 minutes on that. On just, you know, the aftermath of a fight. That's good. One called Deal with the Devil. A boxer named, a female boxer. And, her husband slash boxer manager, his portion of the interview takes place from prison where he'll be until 2035. So that's interesting. You're going to want to watch that one. And then the one about the hockey team started by the biggest, the number two mafia guy in the Connecticut, New York area called the Trashers, the Danbury Trashers, owned by a trash company, trash collection. You get it. The guy bought the team for his 17-year-old son, who was looked like a white rapper. Do the math on that one, too. Unbelievable story. So that's Untold on Netflix. I would check that out. And all right, let's go back to what the big news today in television is: Chris Cuomo being fired. So he was, you know, he's the anchor at CNN. And the brother of Andrew Cuomo, the former governor. And he was suspended recently. Jeff Zucker is the guy who runs CNN. He suspended Cuomo because it appeared that he was helping his brother a little too much in his sexual harassment thing that he went through. And I think everyone would agree that a sexual harassment, when your brother's in trouble, you want to go to his aid and help him out. But he went a little farther. You know, as a journalist, people are mad at him. Say, look, when you're in journalism, there is no, well, he's my brother, I got to do this and I got to do that for him. He's kind of the face of CNN. His brother's the governor. And, you know, under a microscope. But first, they just suspended him. Looks into it. What was he doing to help his brother? Calling around looking for information to help him. Okay, that's not that big a deal. His brother's, there's accusers. He's trying to find out more information about the accusers. Well, maybe that's helpful. Maybe they're false accusations. Find out about these people. Who are they? But I think he went further than that. And then, you know, it becomes, let's go get the accuser. Now, if you're the accused, yeah, you want to get the accuser. But if you're the face of CNN, supposedly, a respectable news network, you can't be working behind the scenes and using all your sources to trash a woman who has made allegations, especially if you've wrapped yourself in this wokeness. It's certainly Chris Cuomo has. If you're going to walk the walk, you got to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk kind of thing. You can't do that. But he did it. And then CNN looked into it, They did a further investigation. They decided it was worse than they thought. And the blowback, I think it was. First they do it. Oh, we're going to suspend them, check into it. Then they look at, then they kind of like take the temperature of the media coverage of this incident. And they find out that people are outraged. And they're like, suspended him. Why didn't you fire him? The people are piling on him. Except for some people that just said, hey, this is, guy's helping his brother. Who wouldn't do that? And maybe that's the right thing to do, but you got to take your lumps, I guess, when you get fired, when you find out, people find out that you went too far. So then the reaction was pretty unanimous that you got to get rid of this guy. In the circles that these people run in, and these are mainly left-wing people, the left-wing, you know, journalism, nobody got his back. Everyone just said he's got to go. So they came out a couple days later and said he's actually fired. Then right before this, there was another sexual harassment claim against Chris Cuomo. Not his brother Andrew Cuomo, but Chris Cuomo. Now he has two. One of them was like, oh, he groped me at a party 11 years ago. You know, I wouldn't want to be groped by him, but he survived that one. It was a long time ago, you know, they don't know. There's not a lot of verification of these kinds of things, so they believed him when he said, well, he said, actually, I did that, but I apologized back then, so why are we talking about it? Then this other person came out and said it was a serious sexual harassment incident, more recent, and that, I guess, combined with this, I think the woman said she was just kind of, you know, disgusted. The guy says he's a champion for journalism, but he's running around trashing women that are making allegations against his brother. It's one thing to just, like, just stay off to the sidelines and be neutral, but if you're actually actively helping his brother, if his brother is engaging in misconduct and Chris Cuomo is helping him not pay the price for that, I think that's different than like advising your brother. At first he said, well, I'd advise my brother on response. You know, he has a response. He's got a media problem. He's the governor. I'm going to give him some advice. And I don't think anyone would think that's, there's anything wrong with that. But it looked like it went to the point of, it will trash your accusers. So you can't do that. Okay, now Chris Cuomo's show is like the highest rated show on CNN, but that makes it the 22nd place show in cable news ratings, meaning someone would rather watch anything on Fox News rather than Chris Cuomo on CNN. A bunch of MSNBC shows come in with higher ratings than Chris Cuomo. So after 22 of them, now you're getting down to where people start watching Chris Cuomo. It's not a lot of people. So it's strange to me also, though, because CNN, definitely the strongest, most famous, most credible, generally, brand in news, maybe in the whole world. Why doesn't anyone watch it? They've got clearance everywhere. They're in the airports forever. So why the ratings so low? Why does nobody want to watch it? And I don't really have an answer for that. You know, there's people, some people that are conservative like Fox News, people left-wing like MSNBC or CNN. But why so? I mean, why does MSNBC beat them? I mean, CNN, that's a strong brand. Both of them, a lot of people say they suffered when they fell in to the Russia hoax. The Russia, Donald Trump is controlled by Russians. Russian spies, blah, blah, blah. That turned out to be completely false. And they stuck with it, though. Stuck with it for a long time. So they lost some credibility. But I'll tell you what, Fox was buying into that, too, I think. Because I'd watch Fox and they go, I thought that Russian thing was fake. It sounded completely unbelievable and fake, and it was. But why did they respond to it? Why did they even pay attention to it? Maybe they believed it too. But MSNBC did. And other than that, I can't see why nobody watches CNN. But especially they had the governor, exclusive access to the governor of New York. But Chris Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, turned out to be not ready, not approved for today's world. And So they're gone. Both of them are gone now. I don't think we'll be hearing from them again in any kind of high profile. Now, legally, what could happen to Chris Cuomo? Well, I guess the FCC could come down on him and say, hey, were you using the airwaves? Well, he's not on the airwaves. He's on cable. So, yeah, I don't know what they can. I mean, people, like, they don't go after people like this. The accusers or the accused could sue him for defamation, but he didn't really say anything public. He was just creeping around, peeking around, trying to find out what he could find out. So I think he's just tarnished, and he goes away, goes into timeout, and maybe he and his brother start a podcast. That's what people do, and it would probably be very popular because people would want to hear what these guys have to say. Yeah, because, you know, loudmouths from New York, they can become presidents, but not these two. Joe Escalante, live from Hollywood. We will take a break, check the traffic, and come back with more on KEIB AM 1150. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood. If by Hollywood you mean Burbank, and we are here every Sunday from 5 to 7 talking about the business end of show business, and sometimes we're preempted by NFL. But if we are, just check the podcast. The podcasts come out Sunday nights, and you can get them on Apple or iHeartMedia, wherever you get your podcast. The Surgeon General, I mean, I don't know if anyone listens to, I don't listen to government public officials anymore about stuff, but just in general, got to deal with it a little bit in Hollywood because people in the studios look to these government officials to make their policy. Certain areas. Put it this way, I can make a TV show. If I make a TV show in Los Angeles, I have to have a COVID officer. And the COVID officer needs two COVID officer assistants. And then I got to administer, I did a budget recently, I had to administer 35 COVID tests. They show up to work. Those are $300 a piece, just about, general, $250 to $300. So it's like $10,000 just for COVID tests. You know? Go to Utah. I don't have to do that. Okay? I do my own protocol. And I've shot two TV series in the last year and a half, and I haven't had one case of COVID. How did we do it? Just, you know, we did it by being prudent, but we, you know, don't get crazy. Okay, so the U.S. Surgeon General has told everybody that it is, despite the Omicron variant, that low-risk holiday gatherings are approved by the government. So, did you know the Omicron that everyone's freaking out about, that not one person has ever been hospitalized for it? So, okay. Now, still, if you go into a concert, they're going to make you show a test or a vaccine. You're going to work in Hollywood and have a test or a vaccine. Some people might make you take a vaccine. Some people might not. It seems like the courts are striking mandatory vaccines for any business, but we'll see how that goes. And concerning lockdowns, more, some of these countries are locking down. I had a friend that went on one of those cruises that go up the Rhine or the Danube or whatever in Europe, and you get off at all these beautiful places like Austria. Austria locked down. They shut down. They won't let anyone in. So he had to, they're on this, you know, once in a lifetime cruise, and they don't get to Strasbourg or they don't get to Vienna. Pretty sad. Regarding lockdowns in Australia, have you seen those? Wow. I mean, like, it's crazy. So it seems like they're suffering really badly from a government that has no other reaction than to lock everyone in their house and arrest people if they go certain, like, 100 yards or so out of your house or some limit. And if you're out, then they arrest you. I saw some video of some guy getting tackled by police because, you know, he was out of his house. But that's excessive. Why doesn't that happen in the United States? I had someone explained it this way. In the United States, the people run the government. Places like Australia, the government run the people. Now, why is that? A lot of people might say, well, I think the government should run the people. I don't like people. Or people are stupid or whatever. But one guy explained it to me as, well, in the United States, they have the Second Amendment, right? And people have guns. So there's 30 million guns running around here. In the United States, there are like 30 million, there are like 30 million guns in people's houses. So the government always has that in the back of their mind. We can't go too crazy. We can't assert too much authority, too much lockdown, too much regulation, because they have guns out there. So they kind of pull back when someone says, hey, why don't we lock everyone in their house? They go, what do you think? They have guns. They'll just like, they'll shoot us. Okay, let's do something else. Let's go back to the scientists and see if there's a different way we can do it. But in Australia, they don't have to do that, have that conversation. They go, let's lock everyone in their house. And someone says, what if they get mad? So what if they do? What are they going to do? They can't shoot us. All their guns are in these little lockers. And they had, they make them put them in a locker. You can own a gun, but you have to keep it in a locker. And when you want to use it, you go to that gun club, you take it out, and you do, you know, shoot a target practice or something like that. Maybe you can get a hunting permit if you're special. But here, they always have to keep that in their mind. And in most other places, they don't have to worry about that. So they just do whatever they feel like it. So even though you might not like guns, that's kind of a reason to appreciate them. You know? But of course, some people just say, I don't want them, and I want the, I'm going to let the government tell us what to do because that's better than having all the guns around. Yeah, maybe. I'm not smart enough to know which is the, who's right about everything, but I just thought that was interesting. Okay, before we go, let's talk about a couple other trials that are going on. One is the trial of Jesse Smollett, the actor. He was he's accused of lying to police when he said that he was the victim of a racist attack, homophobic attack that happened in the 2 a.m. when he was on his way to get a Subway sandwich. Two guys attacked him. They were white. They were yelling racial slurs, homophobic slurs, and they put a noose around his neck and poured bleach on him and beat him up. Turns out police, after like 1,500 hours worth of video, looking through 3,000 man hours, this whole thing cost the city. They could have been using to solve, you know, prevent all these murders and shootings they have there every weekend. And they figured out that he hired these two guys, and he said, I need you to attack me because I want to be famous for being the victim of a racist attack, and then my character on Empire, the TV show on Fox Network, will, you know, my character will have more roles because I'm very upset about how I'm being treated on that show. So the trial's going on right now. It's not being covered very much because people don't want to face it. They don't want to look at this. All these newscasters and pundits, and like from Michelle Obama to Kamala Harris, and they all were on the airwaves attacking anyone that wouldn't believe this guy. So when it finds out he's a liar, it's uncomfortable. No one really wants to talk to it. So you're not going to see much about it in the news, but it's going on right now. The other thing that's happening, which I thought was interesting, that like nobody wants to know about, is Alec Baldwin. He gets does an exclusive interview on ABC with George Stephanopoulos. So he's gonna finally tell his version of the story, even though he said he's not allowed to talk about it because there's this ongoing investigation. But all of a sudden he says, I am going to talk about it. I now will talk about it. So ABC gets this exclusive thing, and they do like a 2020, and they put it on primetime, and he tells his story. It's the lowest rated show of the night. Fourth. Comes in number four from the four networks. People are just like, I don't want to listen to what that guy has to say for some reason. I feel bad for the guy. It's terrible. Terrible for that to happen to you. What he told Jeff Stephanopoulos is he didn't pull the trigger. No, I would never pull a trigger. I would never point a gun and pull a trigger at anybody. I would never do that. I just let the hammer down, and but that's what the trigger does. The trigger lets the hammer down. So it's weird. These guys, they hate guns so much, they don't know anything about guns, but then they make movies using guns. when what they should do is have a guy from the NRA there on the set, and they make a deal with the NRA, and they're, you know, they know gun safety. They'll take care of it. But the Hollywood people don't want a relationship with anyone in the NRA because, you know, these Hollywood people want to take down the NRA. So they got to find their own people, and they just pay, you know, pay a lot. Most times they're good people. But in this case, somebody, he doesn't know how guns work. If you pull the trigger, it pulls the hammer back, and then it lets it down. So he's saying, I didn't pull the trigger. I just let the hammer down. Well, that's what pulling the trigger does. So I don't understand why. And he said, I would never point it at anybody and pull the trigger. That's my training. No, your training should be, don't point it at anybody. Not whether you're it's loaded or not, or you're pulling the trigger or not. You just don't point it at anybody ever. Unless you need to kill that person. So it's a very interesting, I think they thought, hey, I can lean on this story, this version, and people who don't understand guns will go, oh, okay, well, I guess he didn't really pull the trigger. But he let the hammer down. That's pulling the trigger. Because sometimes you can fire a gun without pulling the trigger. See the cowboy guns where they just go, they pull their arm back over the trigger, over the hammer, and they don't pull the trigger. They just pull that their arm back over the hammer. So I don't understand his defense, but I wish him well. I see it's an accident. And, no one should have to go through this. So anyway, that is the end of this hour, and we will be back as we always are. Joe Escalante live from Hollywood, now leaving you with just a taste of the greatest song ever written.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.